brilliantly acrobatic save. Xhaka's corner, Shiro!
Wow, they're starting with an attacking play on the second half. Just as the ball kicks off, DJ Sticks running with the ball. DJ Sticks passes DJ Stones. Wow, DJ Stones run past Lionel Messi. Runs past Cristiano Ronaldo. Passes to Fernandinho. Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones. DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses. But DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in. And wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play. And this is the VAR show.
Welcome, welcome everybody.
Welcome
to another exciting, exciting installment of the VAR
show.
With your host that does the most.
Yeah.
The one who's still making toast.
Mm-hmm.
The DJ of the year.
The DJ of the year.
Yeah, self-proclaimed.
Okay, cool.
DJ Stones. Stand with me here, yes.
Is the DJ of this year.
Because yeah.
he didn't specify which year. So I am the DJ of this year. The man who always keeps things nice.
DJ?
DJ Sticks. I was about to do a rice joke, but we're getting there.
I think let's get rice into it.
Man. Okay.
That was such a bad segue, but I'll still take it.
Take it.
Before we go into the main topic of the show, which is part two of the football meta.
Yes.
I just want us to touch what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What happened yesterday?
We had our first set of, quarterfinals?
Quarterfinals, yes.
Quarterfinals?
Yes.
Of the UEFA Champions League. Mm-hmm. And boy, did we have an upset.
My gosh.
The biggest upset
mm-hmm.
this season.
By far.
By far.
By far.
Because we had Inter Milan beating Bayern Munich 2-1.
At Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Meaning that Bayern Munich needs to beat Inter by 2 goals.
In Milan.
And not just any Milan stadium. The San Siro.
The San Siro. The most volatile. The most. My gosh. Plus, you know, the worst kind of team you want to face when you're going into your second leg.
Is an Italian
team. It's an Italian team.
That can defend.
And is arguably one of the best center backs in today's game.
I'm sure it's going to be crazy.
So, good luck to Bayern. Good luck to Harry Kane.
But at least, you know, we live in a season where Harry Kane might win a trophy.
We do.
Yeah.
Didn't he win last season?
No.
He didn't?
Nope.
My gosh.
The Bayern came second in the league.
That's tough. That's tough. But this season might happen.
You know, it might happen.
What if he wins all, like, what if he gets the Bundesliga? I don't know if they're still in the German Cup.
I'm not sure.
We'll check probably that, but then, yeah. Probably still in the German Cup. Plus the UEFA. So it comes with a treble, bro.
First season winning trophies. He wins all three big ones.
Bro,
that'll be great. But another shocker that happened, the biggest shocker.
The real shocker.
Was that Arsenal had Real Madrid at home. And, you know, I think I was like, you know, best case scenario, it would be a draw for Arsenal. That's Arsenal's best case.
Yeah. In my mind, too.
Or maybe even like a 1-0 victory. But they needed, I'm like, but I don't see them being able to, like, you know, keep Madrid out.
Yeah.
But boy, did Declan Rice say, hold my cup.
Of rice.
Yeah. Not only did he score one banger of a free kick. That free kick was so good. He says, you know what? I'm going to do it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And he scored 2 bangers of a free kick.
Against who?
Thibaut Courtois.
Arguably the best keeper in today's game.
His second free kick was so good that there's, you know, in fact, both free kicks when he scored it.
Damn.
They panned to Mbappe and you're seeing Mbappe's reaction. And the funny thing was, after the first one, he's like annoyed. After the second one, he's just shocked. He's like,
what the heck?
He did it twice.
Timo, what's going on, Timo? Just to give you a picture, right, of how good Thibaut Courtois is. He conceded 3 goals yesterday, but still kept the same rating as David Raya. So his match rating is still 4.0. But the guy conceded 3 goals. But that's the level of keeper.
But you know what I would say to that is the question that he's a fantastic keeper, or was that that Reyna did nothing for the whole game? But anyway, you know, looking at the first goal, right? So listening to Thierry Henry and Rice speak about it at the end, it actually kind of made sense. So they're like, at the mistake Madrid did is that at that distance, you kind of want to put 5 men on the wall, right? To kind of stop that extra space there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to the normal eye, because I showed my wife the goal yesterday and she thought it was witchcraft because it literally was going outwards and bent inside, right? But you normally want to make those curlers harder for the attacker to take, because that's probably what they're going to do. And then the second one, shame. I don't see any keeper getting to that ball. That was legit top bins, as we say. Top corner. You know, sometimes we say, oh, that was top corner, yeah. But it's a little bit off the corner. Yeah, that one went top corner.
So you're saying you put any goalkeeper
I
there.
Think there's no goalkeeper no that will reach that. There. From their standing point, there's no goalkeeper that would get there in time. You would kind of need to already be a bit towards that side.
Which is a risk.
Which is a risk because they could just take it over the wall.
Then what?
Then the third goal by Marino.
Let's go.
That's such a beautiful goal.
To seal it.
You know, as they hit off the side, they turn the player. So the player on the wing, I think, I don't know if it was Rice.
Yeah.
Martinelli gets the ball, kind of spins the player around, passes it to Kevin Scalia.
Yeah.
Who then does a diagonal pass and then a first time shot, but he kind of like hits it on the side to get that spin.
Yes, sir.
And then it goes in.
Yes, sir.
Beating Real Madrid 3-0. 3 goals against Madrid.
With no response.
With zero response. The only thing they could respond with was a 90-minute red card.
Oh, my gosh. But now begs the question. What happens in the second leg?
I won't count Madrid out.
To me, obviously you would say no, like it's done and dusted, right?
Yeah.
But we cannot be ignorant.
Yeah.
And we cannot look past this team because they've done things like this for many years.
Madrid,
we only say this season no.
Madrid is like an anime protagonist.
My gosh.
They will find the power of friendship. And there's it's always because like again, it's going to be Madrid second leg at home failing. And I was speaking to someone and I said they're probably going to win that game like 4-1 or 5-1. And how it's going to work is that they're going to score 2 goals first half. Very beginning of the second half, Arsenal's going to score 1 goal.
And then they're going to think.
And then in the last 10 minutes of the game,
Rodrigo comes on.
3 goals. 3 goals. Rodrigo, 2 goals and an assist. 5-1. We've seen this before.
And deep down, I'm still believing that like Arsenal's gonna do this thing.
Look, Arsenal can.
I'm like, there's no way.
It's Arsenal's to lose, you know.
But
it is Arsenal's to lose.
We've seen it so many times, man. It's like, why wouldn't you?
Hey, and like, because the advantage here goes on to in terms of the goal advantage. Obviously, it's on Arsenal, but the playing advantage kind of goes to
All it takes is 3 goals, though.
Yeah, because. And it's a thing of, and I remember someone once saying, I forgot which manager said this last season, if they can score me 3, we can score them 3. You know? And this was one of these, again, where the one leg they were behind, the next leg they won, and they told them that was the thing. If they can score us this amount, we can surely score them at that amount.
Liverpool did the same thing to Barcelona, so 3-0 is not safe in the Champions League, which is insane.
And I was saying that playing-wise, the advantage is on Madrid, because when you play away, you play more defensively.
You do, because you're getting into...
Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah, you're playing. The environment is against you already,
yeah.
Right? So you're playing. So Madrid, you're gonna be playing defensive against Madrid. Plus, you have the pressure of kind of keeping your lead, you know.
Oh my gosh!
And you have a Madrid playing at home, who's gonna be throwing everything and their kitchen sink at you.
The fans are gonna be crazy.
And the only thing they can do is score an early. If they can score an early goal,
Arsenal.
If Arsenal can score an early goal. That's going to be a huge advantage to them.
David Raya needs to go in there prepared, bro.
Yep.
I've seen good games of David Raya, but I've also seen some horrific games.
Bellingham is going to be shooting from everywhere he can. I'm telling you now.
Vini and Mbappe, hopefully this time they can figure it out.
No, they're going to be cutting in, cutting left, cutting right.
But they need to also play together, these two.
No, they've played together very well. They play together very, very well. Yesterday and I'm telling you, the person who glues it together is going to be Rodrigo. And why I can say this, going into our segment.
Let's go. Beautiful segue.
Because of the meta of football. And, you know, for those who might have not heard last week, and this is your first show, last week we went, you can go listen to last week's show.
Yes.
We were speaking about the meta of football. You know, basically the big changes that have happened and the way football is currently being played in the professional scene.
Yes.
So last week we looked at the high press, you know, the fact that a lot of big teams are playing, the backbone of what they do is pressing, constant pressing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two separate types of press. You have that all-out Gegen press where they on you 24/7.
Gegen Klopp.
Or you have the Man City one where they kind of, they put one player towards you so that you can make that quick pass. And if as soon as a player makes a heavy touch, yeah, there's like three or two players on them.
Just on heavy touch, yes, yes, yes.
Then we also spoke about the hybrid role, which is basically the fact that players are now playing multiple positions. Roles, multiple positions. You know, you look at somebody like Trent Alexander-Arnold, who can play as a midfielder as well as
fullback.
He acts as a defender as well.
Ah, the shade is insane.
So the third point is the data revolution.
Woo! Woo! Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So data has been the meta for some time now. And this is where we look at things like the XG, the passing network, and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Clubs like Brighton are living proof that this works, where they're going to unearth gems out of nowhere.
And they've done it a lot.
A lot.
Exhibit Mitoma.
Mitoma. McAllister. The guy that's in Chelsea. Pep Zuma.
Caicedo.
Wait, Pep Zuma is in Tottenham. Let me say that so confidently. Caicedo's the one in Chelsea.
Yes, yes. Moses Caicedo. All those kinds of people.
Yeah, and like, you know, the data is key.
Resurrecting Danny Welbeck, sorry.
Yeah.
They resurrected Danny Welbeck.
And you also see it with teams like Brentford,
Ooh.
How they got out of the, what you call it, mm-hmm. out of the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what also kind of happens, and like teams that aren't really data-driven,
yeah.
the struggle they have when they come out of like lower leagues is that they don't have players to compete in the higher league, nor do they have the funds to stay in the higher leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and when they drop back to lower leagues, they don't have the players that they did buy to help them stay up in the higher leagues end up leaving.
Mm.
So with data, what Brentford was able to do was kind of get the right type of players as they were progressing, that as the club progressed, the players would progress and the value of the player would progress. So when they sold the player, they'll be making much more of a profit. Right, and it would then allow them to sweep in a new set of talents as well. Mm. A club that's currently doing it and you're seeing it work very well for them is Wrexham, where a lot of data is now going into how they buy players.
Okay.
And you can see it with this back-to-back-to-back promotion that they're getting and the amount of squad retention they have.
Yeah.
Where sometimes what happens is as clubs progress, they just constantly restarting their squad.
Yeah, losing players.
Losing a lot of players. Well, not even like losing them because bigger teams want them. They end up selling off their players to lower teams.
Yeah. So that's the data way of doing things, the stat-based decision making.
Yeah.
Where they look at stats.
Mm-hmm. Point one. They now look also obviously with the data, there needs to be a balance between the numbers and the gut feel. So we cannot lose the gut feel.
The gut feeling.
Yeah. And this comes with players like what's this guy's name in Nottingham Forest? The one that I fight with a lot of United fans about.
Gibbs White?
No.
Elanga?
Elanga.
Okay.
Because when Elanga was playing in the first team, on paper...
Manchester United.
Yeah, on paper, he wasn't looking like
a
first team player, you know? He looked like he should be playing in like for PSV or something.
Mm.
But later down the line, when he's now in Nottingham Forest, you know... Look at what he's doing.
Mm.
Look at the numbers he's bringing.
Yeah.
And had somebody had that gut feel to say, look, let's keep him, it would have like we would have needed him right now, especially with a player like Ahmad being out, you know?
Damn.
So there has to, there is a balance though between like people's gut feels, but a lot of stuff is data driven.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an example for like a gut feeling decision maker?
So a gut feeling, like I said, would you be Elanga? It would be, I'm trying to think of a big player that you look at and you think, no, they shouldn't really make it, but then they made it. What's a good transfer that's happened? I can't use City because most of City stuff is data. Look at Marmoush, look at Haaland.
What do you mean?
It's mostly data. No, there's
some gut feeling. The brain was a gut feeling.
No, but that's old. Like, that's like 2014.
Oh, okay, you're saying now.
That's what I'm talking about now.
Gut feeling.
Anthony to Real Betis.
Oof. That was a risky move.
Yeah, very risky.
That was a risky move.
Very risky.
But look at it now.
Rashford to Aston Villa. So moves like that. Kovacic to Man City.
Yeah.
That has to be a gut feeling thing because on paper that shouldn't be.
Yeah, on paper doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense at all.
Paper doesn't make sense. Okay, cool. So that's gut feeling.
So that would be gut feeling. So the next point of the meta is youth and versatility.
Mm-hmm.
So this now comes in the transfer market. You know what's crazy? So like when you're playing things like Football Manager and when you kind of look at football, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays when you hear a striker is at his 30s, people go and say,
You shouldn't buy
a striker at his 30. But that's them at their peak. You have a good 3-4 years with that striker. And he's experienced and he's at his peak. But if you look at now, like a lot of players that are getting bought, especially like teams and strike, like the teams that like big teams, they're looking for younger strikers.
Mm-hmm.
Like you look at people like Hoyland, who's in his early 20s, Haaland, early 20s,
Marmoush,
early 20s.
Yeah.
The only one who's big, doing big, but like might be in his mid 20s now is Goretzka in Sporting.
Gyokeres.
Where's Goretzka from? That's Bayern.
Bayern Munich. Yeah.
And that's like it's so getting younger talent in kind of has become the new edge.
The
transfer market is obsessed with versatile players, right? When you look at teams like Barcelona, where they're signing teenage players who can play three positions and run all day. So this really goes very well and hand in hand with our second point, which we spoke about last week, which was hybrid roles. Players being able to do multiple things. Also them being able to play multiple positions and having that stamina to run.
And that
comes together, obviously, with the high press. You need players who can press. And for you to press, you need to be able to run.
Oh, my gosh. And it says that clubs are betting on potential over proven stars. And it's risky, but when it does work, like with Real Madrid's midfield rebuild, it's game-changing.
You have
Tchouaméni, Bellingham, and you have...
You have Camavinga.
For how long?
You have so many.
How long do you have these guys?
In fact, you end up even having cases like, what's this person that moved to Atleti?
Julian. Alvarez.
Pardon? Alvarez.
Yeah.
You have players now like Alvarez. They're not even 20. He's not even 25 yet.
No.
He's basically won everything he can in the Premier League. Won the World Cup. He's won Copa. And now he leaves, you know? Normally, that sounds like a veteran's career already, you know? That sounds like somebody who's going to be close to their 30s, 28, 29, saying that. You look at a player like Camavinga.
Who's also won...
Everything.
Basically everything.
He won everything before 25. I think he was in the World Cup winning squad for France.
You can double check that one.
You can double check me on that, but I think he was. And he's also won everything. And the great thing about it is that you kind of start getting experience.
It's 22.
Yeah.
It's actually 22.
But you start getting experience in these young players.
Yeah, for sure.
Then while he goes into that, I want to just jump into our last point here, which is the global game.
Yeah.
Right? How leagues are being shaped up now. Right? So when we look at things like the Premier League, right, it is a very pace-settled, fast, physical, relentless league.
Yeah.
Whereby we have leagues like La Liga, which is more technical flair and making, and is because of that, it's making a comeback.
mm-hmm.
with teams like Girona who starts punching above their weight, right? And then we have some wildcard leagues that are spinning up like the MLS and the Saudi Pro League, which are now moving into signing big talents.
Yeah.
But they don't have an influence yet on like the tactics of global football, whereby, you know, Premier League player will be fast-paced.
For sure.
You know,
for
and
sure.
a La Liga player would be very technical and holding and stuff
they
like that.
They basically don't have an identity yet.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. And what happens now is that when players get bought around, you kind of start seeing those type of flares happening in different places. Like, you look at how defensive, defensive, a player like the one in United with a lot of hair. What is his name now?
De Ligt? No.
No.
How
can I forget my own player's name and I like this player? Xerxes. You look at how like Xerxes can come in deep and he can help defensively and stuff. Yes. Because he's from a league, he's from like the Italian league
where they play very defensive football
and the entire team is expected to defend. You have players like De Ligt, who's also very physical because he comes from the Bundesliga, you know, where they are, it's a more physical game. And you start seeing how all of this start helping teams, you know, to perform a lot better than they normally do.
Because they have different things.
So if you listen to part one and part two of the show and you now watch football, you're going to see a lot of these metas coming up.
Yes.
And now you're going to sound like a, you know, like a sports analysis.
Let's go.
To your friends. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like when I look at how they press, how they Gagan press.
Yes.
You know?
Prime time Michael Richards.
Yeah.
His prime was after his career. So that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Michael, if you're listening to this.
We love you, man. But that is it for the show. Hope you enjoy. We're going to be back next week with another banger of a topic.
As we always come.
You know, top pins. Our topics are going to be as good as the Declan Rice free kicks.
Yes.
Against Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Where they lost 3-0.
Yes, where they lost 3-0. Clean sheet.
Clean sheet.
Clean sheet.
Against us.
With their best lineup ever.
Guys, please do not let Arsenal win the Champions League.
No, guys.
Superbly nicely.
We don't need that.
It's the last thing we need in this world. Please, they already talk a lot for becoming second place in the Premier League.
So now you can imagine.
And when I debate them, I ask them how many Champions Leagues do they have.
So we still need that loophole. Please.
Yes, please.
Please just make sure... Real Madrid, if you're listening, please. Mbappe, we need a hat trick. Kamavinga, you can just support from the bench.
From not even the bench.
Yeah.
From the stands.
Always from the stands.
Yeah.
So do something dirty, blind someone's vision, use like laser.
Do not condone that.
Yeah, no. We're just saying.
But that is it from us before my fellow host here starts telling players to do illegal things. But from us...
to you.
Signing out. Good night.
Peace.
And goodbye.
At FM, radio has never, ever been better. Haven't you heard? It's the Netflix of radio.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.